Beacon Stories Part 1, Conception and Birth. I created this story with the help of Ralph Greer, Joan Morris, Sally Frith, and John Slattery. Well, as we all know, our conception is when our parents came together to create us in a crucible of passion and love, hopes and dreams. But before that, there is the exploration and the courting time. And before that is the birth of the idea in one person that they would like to enter into a relationship. The idea that being alone is no longer satisfying. And this is the time when one begins to imagine what it might be like to be in relationship with someone else. Imagine a different kind of future. And so it was with the Beacon Unitarian Church. In the beginning, as it is written, there was the Word. Or, in this case, the idea that a new church east of Vancouver was possible. And this idea came out of conversations between the Unitarian churches of the North Shore, Vancouver, and Blaine, Washington. This would have been back in 1979, 1980. They felt that it was a providential time to establish a new church as the population east of Vancouver was growing rapidly. The representatives from those congregations pored over the Canadian census report and concluded that Coquitlam would be the most fertile ground to establish a new Unitarian church. The Reverend Jane Bramadette, a ministerial student at the Vancouver church, was loaned out to the establishing committee as part of her work that year. She helped with the discussions, bringing people together. One might consider her, perhaps, the matchmaker. Thus, in October of 1982, a committee was formed to organize the creation of the Unitarian Church in Coquitlam. And on that committee was John Slattery, who was elected chair, as well as Lutina Santing, Audrey Graham, Sally Frith, Crosby Johnson, Nazim Zavar, Stephen Burbage, Fred Hitchcock, and Ralph Greer. They met at Ralph's home. Might we consider this possibly the first date? And then the conception took place in December of 1982, when there was the first public meeting of the establishing church, and at this meeting, the name Beacon was chosen, having been put forward by Ralph. In the gestational period, which much building work was done, of note, the Reverend Robert Latham, who was at that time working for the Pacific Northwest Unitarian Universalist District, was asked by the district to step in and help with the forming. He was working in the prairies at the time and traveled back and forth consulting. And then in early 1983, Robert came fully on board and took on the writing of the marriage contract. Oh, excuse me, I mean the Constitution and the bylaws. And then the birth. On the second Sunday of February 1983, the first service was held and more than 60 people signed up to be members. A large portion of the founding members were drawn from the existing fellowship in New Westminster. It is that first service that we celebrate this month. The first committee rolled into the first board, with the chair, John Slattery, becoming the first president of Beacon. The first board sent the newly signed constitution to Victoria to register Beacon as a church, and the in-laws, meaning the Unitarian Church of Vancouver and the Pacific Northwest District, financially supported the emerging church through its first years. And so, after conception and after birth, we grow up. We grow up in our bodies and we grow up in the world. But growing up, it's not aging. So long as we have adequate nourishment and stimulation, we will all continue to age. This is a given. Some will age faster, others slower. Some will rush in and push forward. Others will age with grace and patience. Now, Shakespeare wrote of the seven ages of man in his play As You Like It. All the world's a stage, he said, and it's men and women merely players. We have our entrances and our exits, and each of us has many parts. Seven, in fact, according to Shakespeare. We begin as infants, mewling and puking, and then to school-age pranks, to then lover, and then soldier, and then to justice with eyes severe and a beard formal cut, to the sixth age of spectacles and shrunken shank, then to the final stage that the character Jacques calls a second childhood, sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything. Aging. We just can't get away from it. No matter the lotions, the potions, or the special diets that we eat, and we can spend lots of time and money to try to slow that process down, but the process will unfold. And we will continue to age. This is a biological truth. Growing up, on the other hand, is a choice. It's a choice in how we respond to our life experiences. We can respond to age passively. It doesn't require us to choose a course of activity, as it is an organic process that will happen regardless of willpower. Growing up, we can choose to do or we can choose not to do. Peter Pan, that character created by J.M. Barrie, did not want to grow up. He wanted to stay a boy forever. He wanted to be free to play, have no responsibilities. His vision of growing up meant that all the fun was taken out of life, all the playfulness, all imagination was left behind. Well, I don't agree with Peter Pan's conception of growing up. It's not that horrible. And I know that the ability to play and use our imaginations are absolutely a necessity. Yeah, I've spent much of my professional life helping others reconnect with their playfulness and their creative sides. No, being grown up does not mean giving up play or joy or imagination. You know, most of us, when we were young, we were eager to grow up. You know, we wanted to be older because being older meant that we had choices and more opportunities and more abilities. You know, the toddler wants to crawl and then to walk and then to run. The five-year-old wants to get out of the house and play with their friends and explore the neighborhood. The 10-year-old wants a lot more independence, wants the ability to make their own choices and the right to choose their own friends and their own activities and to test their limits, especially the right and the responsibility to make mistakes and develop resources like common sense and problem solving. And then when we're 11 through 14, a little older for girls, a little younger for boys, we're often more grown up, clearer, wiser than we will be for a long, long time. It's a powerful age, coming just before sexual blooming and that frantic chaos of the next 10 years or so. Preteens have all the wisdom and idealism of an untested life. They are pure of thought and purpose. My mama always said that preteens wrote the best poetry, and I'd say we should give our preteens, put them in charge of our corporations and governments, because their moral wisdom is very clear and pretty straightforward. This age is also the age when many young boys and girls begin to be aware of their place in the world. They become aware of their singular identity in the context of a global community, and the possibility of a greater spiritual dimension to life. And what I mean by this is, they are in this time when the idealism of the heart marries the justice in the brain, and the causes They see causes that are larger than themselves for the first time, and they begin to define how we think of ourselves and how we define our relationship to our world, which includes those experiences of justice and injustice and the abstract mysteries that are inherent in life and death, hope and faith. Our teens and our preteens right now, for them, you know, it's a no-brainer to make this world a better place, to take their portion of material gain and give it to those who need it more. They are empowered to give. They are empowered to make a difference. And we, their religious community, nurture their empowerment because it's our hope and dream that the young will pick up that staff and continue the journey that we embarked on many years ago. Now, Beacon came into being 30 years ago to be a liberal religious community in this geographic area. So what was happening at that particular time? Well, let me remind you. British Columbia, 1983. Death of a Salesman was playing at the Vancouver Playhouse that season. The Sky Train was just being built. The art gallery moved into the old law courts in downtown Vancouver. The Green Party and AIDS Vancouver were formed that year. And the Social Credit Party of BC under Bill Bennett was slashing social programs, doing away with the Rentalsmen and the Human Rights Commission, and cutting the provincial public service by 25%. So to be a liberal religion 30 years ago was to hold up a dream of a society that was based on justice for all. A liberal religion held the dream of a plural society where diverse communities live side by side with openness and respect for each other's culture. It included the vision of a multi-faith society, where diverse religious beliefs and theologies and philosophies existed side by side with respect and understanding. It included a vision that one's sexual orientation was part of our organic makeup, not a personal or social choice, and that each person, heterosexual or homosexual, transgendered or transitioning, had the right to live in a society that respected who they were and were committed to making the world safe for all. It included a vision of living in harmony with our environment. Now, how many people have just caught on that what I'm talking about here is the mission statement of Beacon Unitarian Church? This was the statement that has encapsulated the vision and the mission of this congregation for 30 years or thereabouts. It's a statement that named the way you wanted to do relationship with each other, with the people that walk through this door, or people beyond the doors of our community. This vision was the guideline or the map you committed to in a spirit of respect, safety, openness, and joy. It names the purpose of the existence or for the existence of this community. It names how you wanted to grow up. Now you're 30 years old. And I'm wondering if this statement, this vision, purpose for existence, continues to describe what you are and what you want to be as you grow up. Or is it perhaps time to look into Beacon's future, the next 30 years? Through the eyes of this 30-year-old community with all of its experiences, with all the scar tissue and the glowing achievements, and see if there is new understandings, new visions, new dreams, and new directions to be brought into focus. If Beacon is going to live a long and healthy life and not just age in place, but embrace growing up, then I suggest it needs deep roots and a strong vision. It's really fortuitous that the Reverend Robert Latham, the first minister employed by Beacon, is returning to celebrate with you next week. It's wonderful that he's available and willing to come up here. Since he was here 30 years ago, Reverend Latham has made a significant name for himself in the Unitarian Universalist movement across North America. He is a sought-after speaker at district meetings and was the keynote speaker at the last Canadian Unitarian Conference that was held in Toronto in 2010. He's written a number of books, which Joan has one that she's got for sale. I've got a few extra too, called Church Folly Lane. This book is on every student minister's reading list, meaning it's one of our basic guideline books for church growth. So he's become sort of a big cheese in the continental movement, and we are really indeed honored to have him here with us next week. And his professional work is focused on congregational growth and identity in the UU movement. He's also been a really loud critic of this movement. His main concern is that Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists don't know where they stand or on what they stand religiously. He would say that we have been in reaction to conservative religions, but not knowing where we stood. The question that I think he will ask us at the workshop next Saturday, and this is connected to the opportunity that we have today to renew, revisit, revision our future as a liberal religion in the 21st century, I think Reverend Latham will ask us this question. What is our noble purpose that might address the needs of a whole culture? What is our noble purpose? That's an important question, an essential question, I think, if we're going to move forward. Now, Canadian Unitarians are a liberal religion in a liberal country. The values of our national population, on the whole, are indistinguishable from the values of this religion. Canadians are a multi-ethnic population, for the most part living in peace and respect for each other and upholding their rights and freedoms through the Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms. We have a liberal sex education in our schools, which has educated the nation towards a healthy respect for and understanding of sexual orientation and gender identity. Same-sex couples can marry legally here. Abortion in Canada is legal and safe. We do not have a death penalty. I think that being liberals in a liberal country allows us to feel comfortable. And I will suggest that we are in danger, both as a liberal religion and as Canadians, of compliancy. Because all is not fine. Is being comfortable with who we are and what we do in the world our noble purpose? I hope not. Unitarians are seekers and people who question. So I ask you, as a liberal religion, what is your noble purpose? And what might this mean in regards to our growing up? I don't have the answers for you today, only the questions. The answers, that's our future work, if we choose to make it so. I do know that there have been times in my life, and perhaps there's been a time or two in your life, when I fiercely wanted to grow up. I wanted to clearly see the world and my place in it. I wanted to be responsible. I wanted to not be afraid to speak up and act on my principles. I wanted to not hesitate to work hard. I wanted to be taken seriously. I wanted to be trusted. I wanted to love. I wanted to be free of fear. I wanted to be respected. I wanted to do what was right for the common good. Growing up has something to do with setting our intentions. In order to set our intentions, we need to know what we stand for or what our noble purpose is. Here's an example. The Dalai Lama stated that kindness was his religion. Kindness, like compassion or justice, is a very noble life commitment. The challenge is to live from it in the good times and the bad. That is the mature choice and what growing up is all about. Now, we can make a commitment to being kind, to practicing random acts of kindness, for example. It's good. You feel warm, glowing. It's happy-making to receive and to give kindness. A friend of my daughter's Unitarian youth practiced random acts of kindness a lot. And one day, on impulse, she bought a dozen roses, walked into the first office building where she'd never been before, and gave the first 12 people that she saw a rose, and then walked out. I think those people will remember that day. It's a good, true story. Kindness is good. I also know, though, that when we make a commitment to live from some noble place like kindness, that the shadow side will eventually show up. It's part of the learning. The shadow side of kindness, obviously, is unkindness, coldness, cruelty. If we are committed to kindness, then we'll also learn from the shadow side in ourselves. We'll meet the part of us that is unkind, cold, cruel. We'll also meet the unkind, cold, cruel part of the world. This is inevitable. Sticking with our commitment to kindness means that we learn from both the light and the dark, the conscious and the unconscious aspects of ourselves and the world. As we experience, we grow. As we continue to commit, we grow up. Beacon may be at a moment in its aging process where it, you, have the opportunity to reflect on your vision of the future, who and what you want to become in this moment to renew or revision your noble purpose as a liberal religious community. Robert Latham's workshop, as we heard, is called How to Grow Whether You Want to or Not. And it's the beginning of a conversation about our future. Now, you may choose to use this moment in your journey to reflect on your purpose thus far. Reflect through the lens of your 30 years' experience, of the light and the shadow experiences that you've had. What have you learnt? And how will you take that experience and revision your noble purpose? The journey continues. As the song we are about to sing together says, you are searchers in the soul's deep yearnings. You are seeking out the spirit's wholeness. Congratulations. Congratulations on this great achievement of coming into being, birthing. Congratulations on the journey thus far, getting here. You now stand on the threshold, facing futures yet unknown. Congratulations, and praise be the journey.